Living Hope Assembly of God.
All right. If you will, grab your Bible and go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to read verses 1 through 6. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. Oh, it's okay, baby. Hey, I believe one of these days Oren is going to preach the good news. Amen. That's all right. You know what he's crying for? He's hoping that you guys get it today. He's like, Lord, please. No, just kidding. If you'll stand for the reading of God's word today, out of reverence for the Lord and his word, how many of you are thankful for the word of God? I am so thankful for the word of God. It changed my life, and I'm so blessed by that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. Now I, Paul, who am lowly in presence among you, but bold toward you while absent, appeal to you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I beg you that when I'm present, I might not have to be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some. In other words, Paul was like a father to this church, and Paul had the responsibility to rear them up in the things of the Lord. And he had reared them up. But also Paul made a statement. He made it clear, listen, I can be a little brash. I can come in and really set things in order. But he said, I want things to be set in order before I get to where you're at. It's kind of like a mom hearing rowdy kids in another room. Calm down. You don't want me to have to come in there. And this is what is taking place here in our text today. He goes on to say, when I see these individuals who think of us as we walk according to the flesh, isn't it funny how there are some people who no matter how much you try to live for God, they always try to diminish who you are in Christ? No matter where you're at, there are always going to be those kind of people in your life. Can I say something to you today? Don't let those people tear you down, but let Christ build you up into who he desires for you to be. Have confidence in Jesus. Listen, the world around you could care less if you serve God or live for God. And they're going to say hurtful things. They're going to do hurtful things. But stand on Jesus. Know who you are in Christ. Amen. Paul had to know who he was in Jesus. Amen. That was his strength. And we're going to find that out in just a moment. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is complete. Father, be glorified in this house today. Lord, may you speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Listen, every single one of us at some point in time in our life deals with strongholds, deal with bondage, deal with things that we have to surrender to God, things that we have to learn to let go. Listen, I could preach this message without even looking at a note. You know why? Because I know my own personal life. I know that I have victory in Christ, but I know the moment that I leave from this celebration, there are going to be moments of disappointments. I know that when I leave from this place, I know that real life starts and the celebration should never have to end, but reality sets in, and I have to do life, and I have to be an adult. I have to be mature, not just physically, but spiritually mature, and I have to deal with my issues. How many are willing to admit today that every single one of us have issues? By this point in Paul's letter, his attitude has changed quite a bit. Man, he's angry at this point. He's concerned at this point. Much of the church at Corinth follow Paul's teaching, but just like in his letter to the Galatians, we see that some had fallen prey to the false teachers. And as a pastor, I look around our congregation and I see some really, really nice people, some really good people. But this was what seemed to be a normal thing every so often that took place inside of the early first century church. Can I tell you today, many of them might not be as blatant as we see in our text as bringing heretical teachings or bad ideas, but they're still around. Can I tell you today, listen, I am not in control. Christ is in control. Can I tell you today that our forefathers of the faith set out, prayed, and considered what God was saying, wrote down, superintended by the Holy Spirit, what God had for them to say, and this has been our path, and this is where we should stay within the confines of Scripture. Now, I want to go ahead and drive something home. How many of you know that this is an Assemblies of God church? And we have doctrines and we have teachings that we adhere to because we know they coincide with the whole of Scripture. And if someone comes inside of the fellowship and teaches something contrary to Scripture, because I believe what I'm standing on is foundational in the Scripture. I know you can go down to another church and they might say, well, what we have is foundational to the Scripture. Can I tell you today, listen, we're not always going to agree on everything. But I'm not going to preach the Assemblies of God, but I'm going to preach Scripture. And what we stand on as the Assemblies of God coincide with the Scriptures. So I'm standing with the Assemblies of God as we stand on God's Word. But there will be times when naysayers may come into the flock and try to deceive and diminish the very thing that we stand for. And this is what is happening in our text this morning. We see the Apostle Paul is grappling with these individuals who have perverted the faith and caused many other people to walk away from the faith or have a distorted view of what the Scriptures really has to say. Listen, it's just as bad. The Bible says, Jesus said that it's a little leaven that leavens the whole lump. It is the little foxes that spoils the vine. That's why you gotta be careful who you allow into your listening circle. There are some people you cannot allow into your life and to speak to you concerning the things of God. There are some television preachers and people around that you just can't allow to enter into that circle and have influence in your life because it only takes a little leaven to leaven the whole lump. It only takes a little bit of deception to be utterly deceived. And then you find yourself on this path leading to nowhere. And what happens inside of the house of God when we have this take place? Division steps in. And then churches split. The body of Christ is in this, there's dissension among the people of God. And we see at the end of Galatians that Paul grappled with that, and Paul is grappling with the same thing here in our text. One of the first things I want you to note out of Paul's letter to the church at Corinth is Paul's sincerity in trying to convince those who were in his care concerning the gospel. And we see that at the end of Paul's, or middle ways through Paul's letter, he says that dealing with all of these things, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And he goes on to list all of these things. For a little bit of your time today, I want to leave you with the thought the weapons of our warfare. Listen, Brother Pat kicked this thing off, and he did a fabulous job last week introducing this to us. He came to me and we prayed and we've considered these things as being something that's prevalent that need to be talked about within our church. Many of us are walking around church, doing church, and doing it well. We're doing it really well. You guys are living good lives. You're trying your best to live for God, but many of us don't even know that we have weapons to fight with. Many of us don't even know that we have an arsenal at our disposal. How would you like to live in a house knowing that predators live all around you, knowing you have a gun in your house, but you don't even know how to use it if necessary? That's how many of us are in the spirit. We don't know how to use the very weapons that God has given us in the spirit. And today, I want to nail down just a few of those as we move forward in our conversation today. In verse 1, Paul says, "Now I, Paul, who am lowly in presence among you, but bold toward you while absent, appeal to you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." In other words, Paul did not want to do or say anything that would damage or hinder the faith of his hearers. He realized that his opponents had done enough damage to some, and much of their hope hinged on what he would say next. And that's why we who are spiritually strong got to be careful in our conversation with those who are spiritually weak. Are you following me today? Many of us know inside of the house of God, listen, you have a weapon that is your tongue. Your tongue could be used for good things, and your tongue could be used for bad things. I choose to allow what comes out of my mouth to be positive most of the time and not negative. He says, "I appeal to you." In other words, I am pleading with you. I am begging you with the meekness and gentleness of Christ. In other words, what Paul is saying, there's a side of me that can be mean. There's a side of me that can be vindictive. There's a side of me that can say some things that'll cut you down real quick and make you feel really bad about yourself. And many of us, if we're not careful, the weapon of our tongue, we take this weapon and we use it in the most harsh ways. It's one thing to know the word of God and use it in a positive way, but it's another thing to use the word of God in a negative way. You shouldn't ever try to use the word of God just to prove a point. When we use the word of God, we use the word of God to build people up and not to tear them down. But I'm not going to talk primarily about the word of God today. Everything we're doing is about the word of God. But we're going to trek through this in the next few weeks. Today, I want to talk to you about one of the greatest weapons afforded to the believer if we walk in it. It's the weapon of meekness and gentleness. You're taking notes, write down the weapons of meekness and gentleness. Even though Paul was firm, yet he was meek and gentle with those of the household of faith. I need you to understand, it's one thing to be meek and gentle towards a co-worker on your job who doesn't know Jesus, but it's a whole nother thing to be meek and gentle towards those of the household of faith. We see it time and time again in Scripture. Jesus himself said at the end of all of these things of keeping the law, keeping all of the law, he said the greatest of keeping the law is this, to love the Lord thy God and to love thy neighbor as thyself. Why would Jesus say that? Because Jesus understood that that is one of the hardest things to do. You've heard me say it before. Listen, I could love my wife dearly one minute and the next minute we're at each other's throats. Am I being too transparent? Okay. We're in the house, had a great meal. Somebody got to wash dishes. It's me. I'm washing dishes. Things are going well. and all of a sudden, out of the blue, dishes start having babies. I'm tired at this point. I have a choice to say something mean, or I have a choice to walk in meekness and handle the situation with gentleness. Listen, many of us have struggled financially, amen? Listen, one of the key things that destroys marriages is finances. And if that is not handled with meekness and gentleness, possibility that our marriage will end in divorce. Am I speaking too open today? I pray that I'm saying something that, because I want to make this relevant to us. I don't want to make it up. I want to let you know real life situations take place. And listen, we can overcome these things if we learn to walk in the way that the Lord desires for us to walk. When you were born again, the Spirit of God came inside of you and took residence inside of you. He walks with you. He talks with you. Listen, one of the greatest examples of meekness and gentleness was Christ Jesus. Even though Paul was firm, yet he was meek and gentle with those of the household of faith. Two of the greatest weapons in the church today will always and is meekness and gentleness. In the moment a desperate person, guys, comes through the doors of the church, they can feel when someone is meek and when someone is gentle. Someone is broken and hurting. Your life is gaping with wounds. The last thing you want someone to do is mishandle you and not use care and not be gentle when handling you. If your arm was broken, do you want me to pick you up and throw you on my shoulder and jump up and down? That's absurd. You need for me to handle you with gentleness and with tender, loving care. We got to start handling each other with gentleness and tender, loving care. Listen, the world understands that. Why don't we understand that? Are you following me today? You turn on the news and read the newspaper or look at social media. And if it doesn't turn your stomach to hear and to see how negatively the church is involved with some of these affairs. If you're on social media, if you click on the wrong thing and read what should be godly people representing the kingdom of God, but when your bashing is equal to those who don't know Jesus, we're playing the wrong game, church. We need to get in the right spirit. We need to fall on our face and realize that we have an arsenal at our disposal, and it is meekness and gentleness. Listen, in order to draw someone to God, you'll never draw anyone to God with harsh words and condescending words and carrying yourselves just like the pagans, the ones of the world. You are different. You're born again, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. And when the Spirit of God enters you, He transforms your life from the inside out. I'm not talking about being perfect, but I'm talking about being like Jesus, desiring to be like Jesus. Listen, Jesus turned His cheek. Jesus was able to take something. Some of the most meekest people that I know and gentle people are those who are strong, and they're able to let people stand on their shoulders. They're able to take a lot. How come some of us can't take anything? We're short fused. You can't say anything to me. I'll snap you up 1 minute. And then ask for your forgiveness next. Meekness and gentleness. By loving kindness have I drawn thee. Did you hear what I said? It's by loving kindness that we're drawn to God. We're not drawn to God. Listen, the Holy Spirit is gentle. The Holy Spirit is meek. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not forcing his way into anybody's life. He's not this mean growly in the background, you better do it. No, that's not the Spirit of God. Listen, if the only reason you follow God is because you don't want to go to hell, you're following God for the wrong reason. We follow God because God is a good, good Father. We follow God because He's a giver of good things. We follow God is because He gave us His Holy Spirit. We follow God because He shows us the pathway of righteousness. We follow God that when the dark seasons are in our life, we know that He brings light and He brings life and stability. In meekness, in fact, meekness and gentleness is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, it's who you should be. It's not the fruits of the Spirit, but it's the fruit of the Spirit. Up on receiving Christ and being a new creation in Christ, you automatically gain the fruit of the Spirit because it's the nature of who God is. And it's the nature of who we should be. It's the DNA of God. It's the qualities. It's the traits of God. Listen, when you are in have opposition standing before you, when you're going through the hardest time of your life, listen, what comes out of you should be godliness. When life presses on you, what should come out of you? It's meekness, gentleness, self-control. At the end of Galatians, it says, against such there is no law. Why is there no law? Because it's Christ inside of you, the fulfillment of the law, gang. It's the Spirit of God, and He's alive and well in every believer who submit and surrender every area of their life to Jesus. And the reason why some of us cannot get to that point is because we have not fully surrendered, and we have believed the lie of the enemy, and he has told us that you don't have to do this, and you don't have to do that, and you don't have to be desperate. You can live how you want to, and everything's going to be okay, and we can't get it under control, and we go home, and we go to our job, and we do our life, and we find ourselves time and time again living in defeat. God wants to do something in your life. Meekness refers to the quality shown by mild approachability or self-control, especially to an enemy, when harshness would be the expected behavior. We all have had situations in our life where we had an opportunity to act out of character. We either did or we didn't. We either did or we didn't. Paul's very words are a reiteration of Jesus in Matthew 11 and 29. Take up my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Did you hear that? Who is Jesus talking to? And who is he talking to today? Guys, listen. The nature of Christ is not to destroy, but to build you up. I'll always go back to our premarital counseling. Dr. Meyer told me and my wife, always fight the problem and not each other. I have learned throughout life, oftentimes that's easier said than done. It takes practice. It takes submitting to the Spirit of God. It takes leaning on Him and not on your own understanding. Gentleness is involved. It involves true and active consideration for others. Every time I'm ever, well, not always. Let's play that back again. I try to, whenever I'm engaged in a conflict resolution situation, even if I got to learn from it later on and think about my actions after the situation is over. One of the key ways to diffuse any argument or conflict is to be gentle. If you approach someone and you see that they're angry, the last thing you need to do is come in with your matter of facts. Come in gentle. Have you ever been angry at someone been angry at you? You can see them coming. Try it. And when you get to them, be the first one to say, listen, I see that you're angry. What's bothering you? And they're like, eventually they can't say anything. Because you're causing hot coals to be heaped upon their head. And they're coming to a place, an understanding like, maybe it's not as bad as I thought it was. That person that doesn't know Jesus, they don't need a bunch of scriptures slammed down their throat in that moment. It's in that moment they need you to be meek and gentle. It's in that moment they need you to be more mature than they are. It's in that moment you don't have to try to prove how right you are. You don't have to try to win the debate. You don't have to win the argument, because if you win the argument, who wins? The devil. You may feel satisfied and like, yeah, look at what I did. But you didn't consider another person. You didn't care about their feelings and their emotions. You didn't want to get to the core of the problem. You didn't want to dig deep enough. You don't really love them like you say you love them. If you had of, you would have handled them with gentleness. See, because when you love something, you don't try to destroy it. When you love something and it's broken, you hope that it gets fixed. Not for your pleasure, but for their pleasure. It's marriage 101. And I'm still in class 101. Gentleness. Because if you don't win that person, if you come in with mean and hateful things, listen, there's nothing wrong with the Word of God. The Word of God transforms people's lives. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is all of those great things. But if it's in the wrong hands, it could be used in a bad way. Jesus loved the world, for God so loved the world. Do you think God wanting you mishandling His Word? Do you think God, if God loves the world, gang, He doesn't just love you. He doesn't just love me because I live for Him. No, God loves the world. He loves the world, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But God wants all the world to be saved. In order for the world to be saved, we have to take on the personality and the characters of Christ. Christ had an opportunity to destroy His enemies. He said, I have angels at my disposal, but I'm going to let you nail my hands and feet to a cross, and I'm going to die a gruesome death. You talk about self-control. You talk about meekness. You talk about gentleness in its appropriate place. Because at the same time, the same Christ walked inside of the temple, turned over the tables of the money changers, and took a whip and whipped them out of the temple. Righteous indignation. There are moments that we have to be a little bit more harsh than normal in given the situation. I'm not talking about an ungodly harshness or an ungodly anger. It's all still done under the guise of meekness and gentleness that comes from the Spirit. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. And meek and gentle. Another time he said, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in the moment of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. Because If you're rotten on the inside, you can look pretty all day on the outside, but as soon as you're cut open, it's going to show how rotten you really are. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, we can stand up in here, out of the same mouth give praises, and out of the same mouth give curses. Water and oil cannot mix. You either are for God or you're not for God. See, don't fake and shake because you're not tricking anybody but yourself. Can we just be real today? Even though Paul gave a lengthy defense of his apostleship in chapter 11 through verse 13, chapters 11 through 13, pardon me, I feel what troubled Paul more than his name being tarnished by the false teachers was their attempt to weaken the truth of God's word. More than slander of Paul's name, they perverted the message of Christ. In essence, they were not working for God, but they were working for the enemy. We see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, where Paul says, "But I fear that somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve through his trickery, so your minds might be led astray from the simplicity that is in Christ." Listen, the gospel should not be this complex thing. Even though the Bible itself is complex and it is a vast amount of knowledge, and much of what we can understand and we gain from it and we benefit from it, but the Bible is way deeper than we can ever imagine. But the message of Christ is simple. It's a simple message. So what I read in this, when we get to chapter 11, these individuals were also built up in pride. Because they made something that should have been easy, hard. So that's why when we convey, when we share the goodness of God, just share what God is saying. Don't try to show how much you know. But point people to him, because if you show how much you know, you're pointing people to you and not to him. We need to understand, and listen, I'm getting into an evangelistic mind frame right now. If you go out into the world and you start talking to people with all of your church lingo and quoting a bunch of scripture that many of us probably don't understand, and trying to convince them that they need Jesus. Listen, the greatest way to convince someone you need Jesus is for God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to save the world so that they would not perish but have everlasting life. Wow, you just shared the gospel and didn't tell them how much he set you free. You don't have to get into some theological debate and try to twist them and turn them and make them feel inferior. But no, you want them to understand that you're no different than they are. The only difference is that you have Christ living inside of you. Gentleness. Meekness. Humility is our weapons of choice today. It can be difficult. But it doesn't have to be. Two of the most used weapons of the enemy against the church at large is slander and deception. We're transitioning. We look in our text, that's exactly what they did, amen? In fact, he knows that if he can deceive you into believing a lie about those that you trust in, he knows that it won't be long that division will soon plague the very thing that once operated in unity. Slander and deception. He knows that if he can deceive you into looking across the fence at what seems to be better, it won't be long that your marriage, your relationships with those that you love will soon be diminished by mistrust and infidelity. David's life was riddled by trouble because he ultimately believed a lie from the enemy. Not only does Satan try to get us to doubt God, but he also tried to get us to doubt, for God to doubt us. Revelation 12 and 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of the brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. Not only does he try to get us to doubt each other, but he tries to get God to doubt us. He constantly accuses us before God, claiming that we're not worthy and we serve him for personal gain. They don't really love you. Isn't that what he did with Job? He's still doing that. I don't know why. He's given some kind of limited power and access. I do know why. For one, God wants to know if you trust him, church. Amen. And you trust is only proven. Love is only proven not by what you say, James says, but it's proven by what you do. It's by your actions. Listen, we got to show some actions, church, if we're going to win the world. I know that the world is mean. I know that they're hateful. And many of them, can I be honest, many of them love more than we do. Got to get to a place where we trust God. Satan also uses his accusations as a strategy, as an attempt to overwhelm us with guilt of past failures and sins that causes, eventually, this is what they do. It causes discouragement and doubt. He wants to overwhelm you. He wants to flood your life. He wants to flood your mind. He wants you to take your focus off of God and focus on the situation. At the end of the day, it is his desire that we walk away from the plan and will of God for our lives and live in defeat and live in the feeling of being inadequate concerning the call of God on our lives. As much as Paul was in tune with the Spirit, he was still a man, and he too had feelings, emotions, and a desire to be accepted by those he held dear to him. Back on our text, and we're getting ready to wrap this up in just a moment. So he pleads with them. Notice in verse 2 what he says. I beg you that when I'm present, I might not have to be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. Paul pleads with the Corinthian believers in hopes that they would change their attitudes towards him and his credibility as an apostle so that he may come to them in gentleness and not in severity. Paul had all the reasons in the world to respond negatively to his listeners, but he chose to walk in humility. Humility is the greatest weapon against pride. Pride tells us to fight back, to stand up when the Spirit is begging us to sit down. Are you following me, church? In the time of conflict, it is so easy to act out of character and to say and do things that we know are ungodly. It's easy. I find it funny that Paul's opponents accused him of walking in the flesh when in fact it is they that have slandered Paul's name and his ministry. Today I want to teach us how to deal with gossip. And I'm getting ready to close. If we could get ready to close this morning, I want to teach us how to deal with gossip. You ready? With the Lord's help. When someone approaches you and they want to gossip, I want you to look at them in the eyes. Got to be real spiritual. And I want you to say to them, I'm not your garbage dump. Take your trash somewhere else. Because what happens, gang, if you allow them to dump that slander into you, now you just took on someone else's offense. And now you have contamination inside of you that contaminates your spirit. Are you following me? I don't want to, listen, can we get to a place, Charles, can you get to a place where you just learn to tell people to take, you don't want to hear it, take it somewhere else? In essence, it is the intentions of the gossiper knowingly or unknowingly to destroy the credibility in your relationship that you have with the person that they're angry at. If you'll stand today. Guys, meekness and gentleness is huge. It's huge. I've been a part of church long enough now, roughly about 18 years. I've seen some good, I've seen some bad, and I've seen the ugly. But we don't have to stay there, guys. We can walk in the spirit, truly. Truly, you can walk in the spirit. But it's denying oneself. Everything that we do, even approaching an individual who's about to bring the gossip to you, we have to use tact, meekness, and gentleness to deal with each and every situation that we're approached with. It's your main objective not to destroy any person, but to build them up, open their understanding up, and reveal their need for Jesus. Today we briefly scraped across the surface of meekness and gentleness in the last 40 minutes of our time. Next week we're going to talk briefly about where the battle is going to be won, truly. It's in the spirit. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about two of the greatest weapons. Two more of the greatest weapons would be prayer and the Word of God. But today, we're dealing with one that seems to be simple on surface, but man, it's not simple. Because we're human, right? It's hard to treat some people good. What about Peter? What did he tell the persecuted church? He said, I know that you're mistreated. I know that you've watched your family die at the hands of your enemies, of the enemy. I know that you're heartbroken. I know that it seems like your life is in shambles. He says, I want you to continue to do good so that, in hopes that those who are treating you bad will see God. In other words, that the hope of Peter was that those people who were mistreating God's people would also see the meekness and gentleness of God's people and be turned to God. We don't have all the answers, guys, for America. We don't. Well, the main answer is Jesus. Let's be spiritual. Jesus. It's easier said than done, even in that. Because when you preach Jesus, you got to go live amongst the people. You got to go hear how they feel about Jesus and then remain with a positive look on your face. And still compel them, after they have spit in your face, lied on you, mistreated you, said all ungodly things about you. It's going to take the power of the Spirit to do that, guys. It's going to take exactly what Paul displayed in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You better have some meekness and gentleness inside of you, or you might punch somebody in the face. In the name of Jesus. Then you just destroyed that person's chance for a season or for eternity. We need strength, amen? How many ready to go conquer the world with Jesus? Come on, raise your hand. I'm scared if we don't have a majority of people raising their hand. Like, I don't want to conquer the world. I just want to live. Okay, this is what I want you to do. If you're ready to do that, and I know you guys can be like, Pastor Charles, listen, I stopped a little early today, so I want you to do me a favor. Do me a favor. Because I want us to be ready, amen? Amen. As many as you can, I want you to come to the altar and find a place just out of symbolism, if you will, but God's going to do a supernatural thing because I want this church to win the world because that's my heart. I pray that's your heart. If for the next minute or two, if you come to the altar, I'm going to pray a prayer and we're going to dismiss at the altar, okay? Can we do that? If you'll come now. We know the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You could have a stronghold and not even know you have a stronghold. You could have a stronghold and be comfortable with having that stronghold. You could have a stronghold and be mistaken that that stronghold is God. You can. It's real life. Today we need Jesus to help us to overcome strongholds. And we need him to fill us with meekness and gentleness. Can we pray like that? Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your people, God. Lord, you have great plans for us and desires. Lord, today, I pray that every stronghold will be broken off of each and every one of us, that your people will go free and be free in you. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. There's no prison. There are no chains that could hold your people down. May your people walk in victory in Jesus' name. God, I also pray today, Father, that as we do life, real life, as we live this thing out on a daily basis, God, you know there are times we don't want to walk in the Spirit. There are times that we don't even want to obey. God, I pray today that your people, Father, under the sound of my voice, God, I pray today that we would learn to submit to the Spirit. That we will fully surrender. God, I pray today that every one of your people, as we go out and share the good news, as we go out and do life with our family and friends, during those hard times, those times of conflict, those times of tension, God, I pray that you will give us meekness and gentleness. God, I pray today that you will fill us with your love and kindness so that the world would see that and be drawn to you. And then we can share the good news with them. Father, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Living Hope Assembly of God.